Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Fall TV is in full swing, and a panel discussion is underway from the new shows to the returning and headline TV news. My co-hosts Christy Olsen, Justin Heath, and Noah Silverman join me next. Let the ranting begin. If you are a fan or you watch television, you are listening to the right show. We are going to be discussing fall TV, new shows, returning shows, what's coming up, what do we like, and what do we downright hate. I'm here with a panel. There's four of us. Let the introductions begin. I'm here with Noah, my friend. Hello, welcome.
How are you?
Good, Noah, welcome.
Thank you.
You're an avid reality TV watcher.
Absolutely.
So you have a lot to say. Now, the next two guests I have, you know them if you've listened to the show. They're from episode one and episode two, Christy Olsen.
Hello. So glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you. It's exciting. And Justin Heath, welcome
back.
Hi.
I'm very excited to be here as well. Can't wait.
We all love talking TV. So when it came to this new fall season, we had to get together and dish about it. And we're going to be giving our thoughts on everything. Let's start out with something I need to rant about.
Grant's Rant of the Day!
All of these networks whine about the 18 to 49 year old demographic and the coveted 18 to 25 and how these numbers are so low. And everyone's freaking out because people don't watch TV anymore. They're watching it on their other platforms, their phones, whatever. And it's like a huge debate and everyone's like, you know, freaking out about it. And, you know, instead of blaming us, the demographic, for not watching, linear television, I blame the cable companies for all this stuff because they're the ones who make the prices dip and change every friggin' month. You don't know what you're gonna get. And it really, really pisses me off because I can't watch my shows. Someone needs to come up with an a la carte way to do it. And I know that would kill a lot of channels and it would be bad for the industry in general. But
in some ways. Yeah.
But it'd be good for us, baby.
Well, what happened was my roommate and I were watching the How to Get Away with Murder premiere last week. This week, we go to watch it. It says you need to put in your activation code on our Apple TV again. So he and I, you know, we're kind of like, we just did this. Okay, fine. We go to look. Time Warner is now no longer an option for the providers because they must have gotten into a fight with ABC. And that's why we got shut out. So he and I have not been able to watch the second episode or Scandal or anything.
And now is Time Warner going to deduct that from your bill? Is it going to be cheaper this month because
probably
of
not.
That lack?
Probably
yeah,
not.
No. Yeah. And so that's what pisses me off. I have, you know, articles after articles about ratings and how people our age aren't watching this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, who the hell can afford it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the networks just need to adjust how their perceptions and their expectations of how viewers are going to watch and when they're going to watch. In today's world, people like things at their own convenience. That's what Uber is. That's what all these apps are. And that's what streaming services are. So I think that all these providers and all these networks just have to get used to that. That's how
I think they
watch.
Are, because I love The Blacklist. And in live ratings, it did okay, but it didn't do as well. But when they did the +3 and the +7, it did spectacularly well, and it was renewed because of those +3 and +7 ratings. Mm-hmm. So that, I'm hoping, is kind of where they're going to go, and they are taking that into account. And I know they did with that show specifically. I think that might be like a test for them.
Right.
But I'm hoping that they'll use that for the future.
Well, it makes a huge difference when you know what you're going to get bill-wise. You know with Netflix, what is it, $7.99 a month?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not going to change. Like with our bill, with Time Warner, shout it out, they change the price all the damn time. And we have 10 channels, which are the, you know, it's all Spanish speaking channels and then the top, the main four. And then we have an internet, you know, we have the internet and it's $80 a month. It's actually, it's 90, but it depends what month you're looking at. And it's just really, it's awful and no one knows anything about it.
I must have got a good deal because mine is like 90 a month, but I have like 200 channels and
that's your DVR. Do not tell me you're a DVR.
Still have to watch commercials, guys. Like Hulu and Netflix doesn't have commercials. Hulu has an option where you can pay a few more dollars a month and not watch any commercials, which I love.
Yeah.
So it's like for you, you're paying for the cable and you gotta watch the commercials for
I had that CBS All Access. And I had to pay for that. It was so much a month. And they had more commercials than ever. so many. I was like, what am I paying for? Because I can unlock an episode of the Brady Bunch. That's what it was. That's really what it was. I could unlock classic episodes. That was such a waste of time. But I got it for Big Brother purposes, so whatever. That's now said and done and gone. But unbelievable, that the whole thing. And then on ABC, they'll have the commercials, and it'll say, you're on commercial 5 of 7. And then it'll jump, you're on commercial 9 of 7. Yeah. That doesn't even make sense. It's totally screwed up. I don't understand it. So I don't want to hear people whine about demographics being low, because this is, you know, this is the reality of the situation. If you want people like me to watch it, you got to figure it out. Like, it's Time Warner's fault. Mm-hmm. I'd love to watch live, but I can't afford to. Bye. Anyway, let's move on to another rating story. I want to talk about Good Morning America and Today. I've been listening to this book on tape called Top of the Morning, and it's really interesting, and it highlights the war between these two shows that have been on since the dawn of time. And now there has been, the ratings, of course, have expanded and contracted for the Today show, and they've had a multitude of behind-the-scenes problems. But
lots of drama.
Yep. Now they're celebrating that they are now number one in the demographic of 25 to 54. And they're surpassing GMA, but GMA is still leading the pack with total viewers. Now, this, I can only imagine the celebration they must be having over there for this. What do we watch morning TV on this panel? And if we do, what are we looking at?
I mean, a little bit, but Today Show only. Mm-hmm. And I think what strikes me about these stories, and that they've been going back and forth like this for years, is that the difference is very minimal. Like, mm-hmm. you're talking, like, maybe a few 100,000 viewers, or sometimes just a few 10,000 viewers. That is the difference here. And they're going day to day. So really, they're both neck and neck. They're both doing fine. And I don't really want to watch either one of them.
I mean, I grew up watching NBC Today Show. So that's sort of like where my loyalty lies. But as GMA pulled ahead of it a few years ago, it seemed like the Today Show was more and more trying to copy GMA. And GMA is just so watered down, mm-hmm. generic, corny. And it's like not enjoyable to watch. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all fluff television.
Yeah,
it's all fluff. Not innovative. It's boring. It's a new fashion trend, but I don't really care. If red is in for summer, I just don't, you know? And they'll do this whole segment, I feel like, about, you know, 10 minutes of everything that's the color red. It's like, who produces?
Yeah, the best thing about the Today Show is Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yes.
And they're the 10 o'clock hour, so, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's why I think what works more about the Today Show is that that stuff is in that hour, and you know to go to wait for Kathy Lee and Hoda for what is the hot color for the new season.
And, like, their banter, though, is amusing.
It is
like,
great.
Their back and forth is good.
Yeah, and with Good Morning America, you kind of don't know where they're going or what's coming up this hour.
It all just feels very contrived, too. I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
But, I mean, for the Today Show, I mean, if there's a demo that's still watching the morning news like that, it is probably 25 to 54, so whatever.
I'm surprised it's that young, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I really...
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at another daytime show that's in the news, and not for good things. Dr. Phil. This guy...
That's the juicy one.
There's an article that came out in the Wrap, and it was really interesting, talking about all the cuts behind the scenes, just kind of how these people in certain departments, including the transcription department, were waiting to come back from summer hiatus, were promised jobs, and then when they arrived, they were there, and then they were quickly told to leave. Now, I have a personal connection to this. My roommate worked over there for a while, and he waited all summer, thought he had a job. You know, he was there. He even worked. Like 3 days, and then they called him the following day and told him not to come in anymore. So very lackluster over there. And I've heard a lot of things in general. I think working in the industry, Dr. Phil has a bad connotation.
Yes,
we all heard that.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
So it's not a huge.
I blame
shock.
Kim Richards.
I just don't like him. Period.
No, me neither. Yeah. But this article basically said that he's on track to make over $70 million this year with his books and his television deals and his endorsements. And that people can't even get medical coverage on his shows. Basically, they really shaded him in a way and said, look, he's on track to make his money and everybody else is scrambling and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't even Yeah, he's not a real doctor, right? Like, because he could, that's why he has to be called Dr. Phil, because they can't use his last name.
He says that he's let his license expire because he's technically retired. He's not practicing day to day in his own office anymore.
Okay.
I mean, really, what the show has turned into, and this is the reason why it's so shocking that there are these cuts, because the show is doing better than ever. Mm-hmm. And what he's turned it into is just this total drama melee for headlines. They've got celebrities in there now, and they're really just going for stories that when you go through the channels and you see the title of the episode, you want to watch it.
It's something big and juicy and loud, but it's a special every, that's like what gets people to tune in.
Yeah, but he doesn't even really try to help people anymore. It's sort of like they get all their drama out in that hour, they tell everything that's happened, all the good juicy stuff, and then he just says, okay, I'm gonna bring in these professionals and send you to this rehab.
Yeah, no, he
used to sit and actually help people. So I sort of think that this icky nature of the show that's very drama filled and, you know, looking for the nasty stuff, maybe that's sort of spreading behind the scenes. And I think, you know, when you go there and become sort of tabloidy, I'm not surprised that, you know, the employees are ready to mutiny.
I think it's so interesting that he, sorry to interrupt, just about how there are all these budget cuts, because I was working on another reality show a few months ago, and one of the contestants was flying from another part of the country, and they were telling me that the person next to them on the flight was flying in for Dr. Phil. And they had, like, car service the entire time they were here. They had, like, a nice hotel. Like, they spent thousands of dollars. They gave them, like, a full free week in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm thinking, like, I get it. You want to, like, you know, make your guests feel nice, but, like, to give them, I don't know if it was 7 days, but to give them, like, a nice, you know, five-star, five-day trip to L.A., all expenses paid, I'm thinking, well, what, you can't even pay a PA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right, and it's to get these kind of stories. The people that are there, the guests, are like, I don't really want to be on telling a horrible story and all these crazy things I've done. So I think that's
they
how they
did
sort
it,
of
yeah,
entice
for like a free,
them.
I mean, it that's makes sense, but it's going. Just so interesting. Like, they spent it on some, you know, random person from Arkansas or wherever it was.
Right.
You know.
And he's also an EP on The Doctors, right?
Yeah.
That's a show that his son does. So I'm wondering if maybe the money troubles are coming from, we know that Dr. Phil is doing great, but maybe The Doctors isn't doing great, and they're the same production company, so
they
maybe
do
that's
share,
where the money's going.
They do share the same pool of money, both of those shows. So it could one could be sucking the other one dry, you know.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah, I don't know, that show, Dr. Phil, all he would do is throw people his book whenever I watch the show that his son owns the Bird Street Bookstore. So it was that company family synergy. And to me, I just can't send to me. I just think snake oil salesman when I look at him.
I agree. I wonder how much Kim Richards got paid to go on that, because I just
wouldn't.
I just wouldn't go on. If I were a celebrity, like, I would rather go somewhere a little more prestigious.
You, like, hold out for Oprah or something.
I mean, Oprah could have definitely done, like, and she has that Where Are You Now? I mean, Kim Richards does have a past that people would know her from. I mean, they, you know, it's not like she's just, like, some reality star. I mean she is,
to be honest, I just think Dr. Phil is such a schmuck. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, enough people seem to disagree, though, if it's doing so well in the ratings and he's making so much money.
Over 4 million viewers they have
for
average for these first couple weeks.
That's
it really is.
So here's the thing. Like, they might be slashing and burning behind the scenes in terms of, like, the crew that they have going. But, I mean, they're doing fine. Whatever they think is working is, because it's showing in the ratings.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, another show that could potentially deliver in the CBS family that is in big ratings, could be the new show Haunted on CBS. It was recently picked up, and it looks like some type of crazy show. Justin, I know you can talk about this. You know, basically, it's people who are trying to track down folks that are kind of hiding their, you know, technological fingerprints.
Well, right. So basically the UK format it's really interesting. It's actually more about people who are trying to evade, like, private investigators. So there's this team of, like, 20 of the top, like, FBI type of people who are trying to track them. And there are all these people, I think it's a group of maybe 10, and they sort of go on the run. And they're just trying to evade being caught by federal agents, basically, and just trying to hide their fingerprints, like, just avoid, like, being caught via money transactions, anything. So it's just, like, people who are on the run in Europe trying to escape being caught.
So is it the cameras follow the FBI agents?
No, the cameras are, they have a crew, they have one cameraman with each of these people who are on the run.
Oh, so it's fake.
Oh, wow.
Right. It's like they're not really on the run, but it's like a staged sort of like setup. Yeah, but it's interesting.
It's very complicated.
Like, it is complicated.
I think that's very different for CBS. I could see that on like a true TV, but that's another budget, I mean.
Right, well, I think, I wonder what it is. You know, CBS is kind of the older demo, and it's that like fear factor to the older people of like your identity getting stolen and people can track you.
Yeah,
and, you
exactly.
know, the Big Brother thing. Like, that's the way where it fits into CBS for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just because the UK version, they also clearly had a lot of cooperation with the government because they also track people through like cameras that are around the city. So the CCTV system that like they have like interwoven with like all federal offices, like they use that on the show. It's really interesting.
That's really cool.
So you think it'll be able to translate in America?
I don't know. The thing is, because at the company I work at, we talked about it. How could we bring this show over here? Because we all really liked it. But I think the difficulty would be getting cooperation from like the US government. Like you're not gonna be able to go into the FBI's like system and like track these people down, you know, for entertainment purposes. But I think like the concept in and of itself of people like all of a sudden finding out that like you're on the run, try and evade being caught. We have a team of investigators like on your tail. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see how it's executed. I'm curious to see.
I think CBS is the right network for it though.
Yeah.
If they're going to do it.
I just want to see The Mole come back.
Oh, I love that show.
That show I would love to watch
with Kathy Griffin.
The Celebrity Mole, yeah, I loved it. It was amazing. I was talking about
it.
It's
been years, huh?
It had a comeback like, what, 5 years ago?
Well, I remember they started airing on like VH1 for a while. I don't know if that was like reruns or what.
They came back, yeah, and I was like, you know, excited. And I remember, I believe it was on ABC, or maybe it was perhaps Fox. And I was hoping it was going to do really well again and that it would be back in the fold, and it just came and went.
That was a great, great show.
Yeah, I loved that, The Mole. It was all ridiculous. So coming up next, I want to talk about the fall shows. Are you ready? Do you have everything on top of mind?
So ready.
Okay, all right. We'll be back with the fall show lineup review.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at @Grants_rants. And now, back to the show with the panel.
The new television fall shows are on. What did we like? What did we hate? And what did we turn off? Let's start off with what we liked. We all looked at The Muppets, right?
Yeah.
Yes, how could you not?
Why did I watch this show? I had it on
because
when I was like...
Because the promotion was really, really good.
It was.
The marketing was really good.
ABC did a good job marketing all their shows. That Blood and Oil was everywhere. The Muppets were on a lot of buses. They did a good job.
As long as you're not watching like the commercials for the shows themselves, sure. But like I think outside of the commercials, which are pretty corny, their marketing team is on point.
Wait, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how the on-air promos don't really reflect what the show is about. Like this Quantico show, obviously this is like one of their major shows they want to promote for the fall. I was totally turned off by every piece of marketing they have for that show. Even the bus billboards. I had no interest in watching the show. And then I heard good things, and I looked at it, and it was like a totally different show than I imagined that what was sold to me. And I enjoyed it, and I expected to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You liked it, Christy.
I loved it, yeah. But you're right. The billboards and stuff, I was expecting something a lot more political, a lot more slower paced, not nearly as sexy. It's a very, very sexy show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And more for, I think, my demo than the older demographic that would have been kind of brought in by those billboards and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you really wouldn't have gotten the right image from that. But when you watch, it's well written. It's so fast paced.
It's a lot of twists. The turns are good. They're not cheap. They're pretty solid twists and turns. They have actual, like, payoffs to the show and the people on the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have convinced me to watch. I feel like I need to check it out now.
I thought this was going to be like, when I heard about it, I said, well, that's not happening. I'm not watching that. And then I gave it a shot. I'm glad I did. But yeah, those shows were promoted differently. I feel the same about Blood and Oil. Blood and Oil was marketed to me as an oil-rich soap opera. And then when I watched it, it was kind of like...
That's not what it is. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah, it wasn't soapy.
It's more action, or like they're going more for like action.
I feel like it replaced Revenge. I feel like
interesting. I mean, marketing to ways, yeah, because they even put revenge on the poster. It's like, but yeah, no, I watched that show and I was like, I thought this was going to be like Empire, like Dallas, like Dynasty, where we see the business kind of infiltrate these families and really, you know, force people to draw lines in the sand. But it was more just about like making deals in the oil world. I mean, of course, there's more to come and I'm going to watch it and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But the pilot did not wow me. Mm. Where Quantico was a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the Muppets because I want to talk about the show. It debuted really well and then it fell 30% with the second episode. People tuned out.
I tuned out. I thought that the presentation that it was sold on, they had like this long, and ABC put it online, it's like this 15-minute clip that they presented when they sold it to the network, and it was so funny. All the characters were slightly more adult than what you're used to seeing the Muppets as. And then when it came time to air the actual show, the premiere, it was boring. It was watered down. It was more family friendly, which is fine. I get it. They're Muppets. But I think that the concept that they were going for was better than what was executed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like we were talking about, they set it up on Twitter even. I remember opening my Twitter one day and seeing that Kermit had dumped Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this about? Like, that was kind of my main motivation for tuning in. Yeah. I want to see what happened.
I even talked
Kermit
about it on
Piggy.
This show.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
So yeah. I think it was the curiosity factor more than anything. What are they going to do with this show? Is it going to be a kids show or is it for adults? Is it for families? So maybe that's where that drop came from, is the people tuned in and they were like, oh, okay, that's what it is and I maybe don't need it in my life.
I think you're absolutely right. I think people were curious, they saw, and they left. I think it's that simple. I only watched the second episode so I could talk about it with you guys because I know you guys mentioned it. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe they're watching feverishly. Maybe I should be caught up. But no.
And it's worth mentioning that they brought in Josh Groban for that second episode. Mm. And even still, quite full. I don't know if he's that big of a draw anymore.
I don't think so. Yeah. I know NBC loves him for their music specials with the Christmas tree and all that. But beyond that, I don't know where he is.
I think he's also a big hit on Twitter. He's pretty funny, but I just don't know if that translated well to television show. I feel like it would have done better as like specials, maybe. If you do like a Muppet special, like
for
fall
and
spring, something like that. Yeah. Like a comedic special as opposed to like a full out.
Well, there used
series.
To be Muppet specials all the time.
Well, they did. They did the, what was it? The Lady Gaga like Muppet special.
Was
that on NBC?
That was on ABC.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a Thanksgiving special, I believe.
Well, yeah, they were more almost even of like a variety show at one point in time, too. I remember when we were little, like they would have a lot of singers on and do that whole thing, musicals and different skits and things.
Well, I'm just glad my two favorite Muppets. They had the two old men sitting in the audience. I love that. Like, that would be me if I was a Muppet. I love them.
Yeah, even if the show doesn't last past season one or it gets canceled in a few weeks, the Muppets are still going to be around.
Oh yeah,
they're not going anywhere.
Let's talk about one of the most ridiculous cartoonish shows that I can't stop looking at, Scream Queens.
I'm obsessed.
Oh, yes.
It's so good.
Yes.
This show is so goofy to me. I don't know why I watch it. I don't enjoy Emma Roberts. I'm not a huge fan of Ryan Murphy's shows, and I admire him for the producer he is. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't a draw for me. Like, I didn't have to watch it because he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious where they were gonna, how they would ever fit in Jamie Lee Curtis with all these teenagers. But it works. It's incredibly ridiculous and over the top, and it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. It's television. Like, it should be entertaining. That's exactly what this business is. Like, I don't know, I think that they really go for it. Hopefully it stands up better past season one than a lot of Ryan Murphy's shows do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Glee like really fell off for me after season one. I thought it was the worst thing on TV afterwards.
Oof, I always
and then
that.
American Horror Story, I still watch and I'm still a fan, but I think that like a lot of his shows tend to have a great first season and then not so great.
Well, because he leaves.
Well, and I think
or you cast NeNe Leakes in The New Normal and you wonder why it fails. Idiot.
Well, I think part of that will be is that this has a phenomenal cast. And it's these big name casts that get people to tune in. When people hear Jonas, when I hear Ariana Grande, I'm around, like, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it remains to be seen for the second season will be if they can keep bringing in these hot new
people. Well, I think it's supposed to be an anthology series, too. So I think like there's a potential for all these people to come back. I think like this storyline is just for season one, and then there's going to be a whole new story, whole new setting for season two.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I like that. But I'm also so sick of every show doing that, you know? Like, I like it for certain things. I think it works. But this whole new, like, thing, just make it a different miniseries. I don't know.
I think it's okay for Scream Queens to do it just because Ryan Murphy sort of, like, invented this current trend of that happening with American Horror Story. So I'm, like, not opposed to
it. I just think after True Detective Season 2, like, I'm scarred from that. Mm.
No more. Well, I'll be watching Scream Queens at least through this season.
Yeah, I'll look at it for as long as I can.
I hate just the sign wardrobe on the whole and the thing. Makeup. Yeah.
I loved it. The show had so many great one-liners, like "Good morning, sluts." I'm like, I woke up to like 4 text messages the next day. So I think like it definitely sold me and a bunch of people that I know.
I was really surprised that so many people did die. Like, I thought, like, okay, it's going to be, like, you know, fake deaths. But no, like, they literally did mow that girl's head off. That was the end of her.
Yeah.
But she didn't come back.
You know, it didn't do as well in the ratings as I expected it to. And there were a lot of, like, articles the next day saying it's interesting that you can't really actually translate social media buzz to viewership.
Yeah.
But I guess people stream. I don't know. The audience is going to watch.
Yeah, that show had, I think, the biggest DVR playback,
which
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even at that, the ratings weren't. I mean, if you look at how many Twitter followers Ariana Grande has and how many Lea Michele has, I mean, you didn't even get half those people.
Yeah. I didn't even know Lea Michele was in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is she?
Yes, she just got a makeover on the last episode. she had to be that. She was the only girl that could play that. I can look ugly, but then, you know, give me my makeover.
And she got, by that, she got to remove the fake neck brace they put around her.
Right.
For the show. That
my theory is she's the killer.
I kind of thought the same.
Yeah, I think neck brace is the killer.
Because I was saying, I was like, Lea Michele, she's playing an awfully small role on this show.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Who thinks she's as big as she is.
And it's like, it's the most, like, unassuming. Like, obviously this girl in a neck brace isn't going to be the one who's, like, behind murdering all these people or the mastermind. It's definitely her.
Yeah. I like how Ryan Murphy always represents the disabled, if you will, on that, even on this show. Like, yes.
Underdogs.
Very good, Ryan. Very good. Good for you. Two shows I turned off, and I actually did sit through one whole episode, and the second episode I turned off was that Life in Pieces on CBS.
I don't even know what the show is.
I keep hearing about it, but have no desire to watch it.
It's multi-generational, and it's ridiculous, and not in a good way, and not entertaining.
So this is just an answer to, like, a Modern Family, Blackish,
like
just another
CBS version of, like, Modern Life. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. I did laugh at a few of the jokes, but, I mean, it wasn't enough to keep me around. And then I looked at that show, Best Time Ever, with Neil Patrick Harris.
No way.
No, I just think it's hard to sell and to make a variety show successful in today's day and age. I think they're a thing of the past. Every time that a network has sort of tried to go for a variety show angle in the past few years, it hasn't worked.
That's true.
Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson had a variety show like 10 years ago.
What about that amazing Rosie O'Donnell variety show? Thanksgiving special.
That was on TBS, right?
That was on NBC.
NBC, it also got canceled after like 3 episodes.
It did so badly. It did awful. It was supposed to be a yearly thing, and it failed out of the gate. And it was for many good reasons.
Yeah.
Rosie was all over it, and you could tell, like, it was like all her vision. She didn't let anyone come in. And it's like, no, not everyone wants that.
Well, here's the thing. If a variety show is going to be successful, I think Neil Patrick Harris is the guy that's going to make it successful. So I like him. The show does a lot, and I sort of commend the team for that. It's amazing what they're able to pull off, but it just, I don't know, it's disjointed. It's a lot.
That's another one that I think is going to survive and thrive based on who else they can get on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And with a name like Neil Patrick Harris, there's a it's pretty promising.
Supposedly they're spending a shit ton of money, though. Like $4 million an episode, and like the viewership is, they're not really, like, they're not getting enough viewers to support that kind of spending. But because they're spending so much, I think they're going to keep it around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's going to be one of those things where they just keep it going till it's too far gone and there's been too much money in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I like the game nights, you know, the Jane Lynch's show.
Hollywood Game Night. It's a huge success.
And that's not necessarily like a break the bank type show, and it works.
Well, someone was telling me that show Wipeout, that was on, that the set to dismantle the set would cost more than it costs to just keep renting out the space that it's on. So
and
the
keep
set
the
is
show.
Still, it's somewhere in LA. Like
it's supposed to be in Valencia.
Is it? Is that? I heard that it's still there just because it's cheaper for the network to just keep paying for it.
Wow.
Which is interesting.
I heard that it was like very, I don't know the exact dollar amount, but I heard that it was very expensive to build that set in, just for the pilot, so ABC really had no choice but to pick it up because they invested like big money. I didn't know the dollar when I'd be making it up, but it was like outrageously expensive to create that.
But it does surprisingly well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a summer staple for them. I mean,
yeah.
People watch. People like to see other people like get hurt. It's like everyday Americans doing Jackass.
Like
right.
I watched it in like 2008.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at it now.
Yeah.
But okay.
Well, but that is, it's one thing to consider with all these new shows, and if they're going to survive or not, is how much is the network putting into them. It's a sign, plus it means, you know, if it is an expensive show to do, mm-hmm. it'll be one of the first ones to be scrapped if it doesn't work.
And that's why there's still a reliance on reality in some places,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Because it's cheaper to produce. They're not putting as much money into all of these, unless it's Neil Patrick Harris and Best Time mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah, and it also allows the networks to be able to work with corporate synergy very easily,
mm-hmm.
you know, like with that Best Time Ever, they can put anybody on there from so-and-so from The Voice, CeeLo Green performing, and that's when I go click.
Yeah,
I'm not watching CeeLo Green on anything.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about returning shows. Of course, the biggest show that had the most amount of hype was The Return of Empire. Did you watch?
Of course. Who didn't watch?
I can't get into it.
No. I'm one of those people where if it's that big and there are that many people that are on it, I'm sort of like, all right, it's good. They're good. Like, they don't need me to watch
yeah.
it. I'm
you
fine.
Weren't tempted.
There's enough
no.
people talking about it. No. I feel like it'll be one of those that in three seasons it's going to get so I'm going to hear about or something or see a little snippet of it and I'm going to go, all right, now I have to go back and sit down and watch the last three seasons of this show.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think the show is, like, spectacularly great, but I think it hits a lot of like common, I don't know, it's entertaining, it's a base level thing that the entire family can watch together.
Do
you know?
Find it overrated?
No, because I think that people like find it juicy, it's a new primetime soap, but I don't think that anyone's saying it's the greatest show ever. I think a lot of people watch because it's easy to watch and it's fun to watch, but I don't think that anyone's like touting it as like an amazing program. Taraji P. Henson is great, but
I mean, I feel like it gets a lot more hype than it really deserves in certain aspects. I love that it's a primetime soap. It's, you know, it's one of a kind show for sure. But I don't know. It's a little too much, like too much celebration. I think a lot of it, I knew this was going to happen with sophomore slumps. Like, I feel like these shows, they get too big. And then the concentration is trying to get Ludacris on the show. And Petey Pablo is an extra somewhere on the set. And then, you know, I have to, like, don't forget to add in Don Lemon. He needs to make an entrance. And it's like, it just, like, it
there's a
away.
Lot surrounding
Empire.
Well, the problem, I think, with so many shows is no one thinks big picture. No one thinks what's the series finale going to be in the pilot because they're so concerned with it getting picked up. But if you're truly that artistic and that creative, you need to think about if this show had six seasons. And you can't go into a pitch meeting saying that. But in your head, how can you not have some idea of where you want these characters to go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. With so much TV, especially network TV, I find, which is why cable has become so much more successful, I feel like.
Yeah, a little more closed-ended, like Revenge, like Bachelor would have been like a miniseries.
That was season one.
Oh, it was to me. I only watched like the first six episodes, so.
You never saw her get Revenge?
No.
At that point, it was
did
so convoluted.
Did she ever?
After Mike
so
Kelly left, it was horrible. But that season one is one of my favorite seasons of television ever.
Really?
Season one, not the whole show.
Yeah. Well, so kind of like, you know, an Empire, you're saying the hype is so big, if it can't live up to it, what's going to happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, Fox has them tied in with so much, you know, corporate synergy. They've got their performances, the music is selling. I mean, it's just not going anywhere. And they will beat that like they did to the death with Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that show was, like, talk about, like, a corpse, and they were still trying to squeeze money out of it.
That was smart, though, with the Glee project.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that to give it the additional hype.
Watch that happen for Empire, and the prize
well
is a guest spot on Empire.
Yeah, very well.
You really don't need any more of that. It's just too much of a focus on X. And now they've divided the family by having them some have left Empire created their own label, and some are still there.
Well, I think that's it's the best storyline that they could do for the second season of the show.
See, I disagree. I think they put people in two different orbits, and it's like you're separating the show. I don't know, but I don't know what else they could do.
Are they setting up a spinoff?
I don't have like an other idea for them.
Actually, I think I did hear something about a spinoff. Like maybe Lee Daniels like is saying he wants to do like an Empire like in another city or like something like like another brand type of music that's not like hip hop. You know, like they want to do like
Empire Chicago, Empire Miami,
something like that. Like I think it might be like a Miami type show.
Well, he does say that there is a spinoff coming.
Yeah,
and I believe it's going to be about a girl group.
So maybe
I can get on board with,
because they did set that up in episode 2, I think, like this idea of a girl group like happening. So I don't know, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as bad as I would have thought.
Yeah, it's going to be called Star.
We'll see.
Like a scripted pop stars. You guys remember Pop Stars was the first singing competition show on WWE back in the day? Nicole Scherzinger? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I remember that
one. Remember.
Yes. Yeah. That was the first one. That was so good.
Nicole Scherzinger still clinging on by her nails to being on television.
But you know what? She, good for her, is you can't knock her hustle, because she is on like every like formatted competition show. And now she's on Best Time Ever.
She was on Best Time.
Yeah.
She is. She's a regular on the show. So good for her.
Yeah, she's working. All right, now, How to Get Away with Murder.
I didn't see episode 2 because of my gripe earlier with Time Warner, but episode 1 was great.
It was such a great comeback from like a really, really great first season, and right after Viola Davis winning the Emmy, well deserved. It was just like a perfect like segue back into the show.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, it's such a uniquely done show, the way they do it, you know, like with that first episode. The first season is what pulled us all in, and knowing what was going to happen and then getting the backstory, and I think we were all wondering how they were gonna make that work this season or what, and then we got it.
Yeah,
season 2 episode 1, same thing, but in a way that surprised you, and you were just like, yes, and we're on the ride again.
I was totally, totally surprised by that, because I thought that device, I wasn't sure if they were going to bring it back, like the story at the end, like being tied into every episode and revealing more and more, but I like that they're doing it, and I was shocked.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that the plot for season 2 isn't going to be the finale from season 1, because I was like, okay, here we go, it's going to get convoluted, it's the same formula over and over, and they changed it up, and I was stunned. I was so happy with it.
Yeah, because like how I've been kind of saying that this is surpassing Scandal for me. And when I think about Scandal, is the first thing we ever learned about Scandal was the affair between Olivia Pope and the president. And that is still the main storyline. That's still, is the public going to find out about it? Where season 4 was still the first episode of the season. You know what I mean? Whereas with How to Get Away with Murder, it does feel fresh. And it does feel like new, more things you're finding out that you want to know about.
Well, I think it ties into what you were saying earlier about having an end goal in mind. Like every season, if they're continuing to set it up this way, you know what the end of the storyline is, so you're like working to get to that point. It's all about solving the mystery along the way, and I think that's fun as a viewer.
I think they do a great job. Pete Norwalk, I hope it continues, because I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I like watching the show just because I like to watch Viola Davis act. I like to
watch
her.
She's amazing.
She actually brings it in all of her scenes, so that's good to watch. I like it. She's very enjoyable and very talented.
Yeah.
There are some shows that have not premiered yet at the time of the taping of this podcast. So, will you be looking at American Horror Story Hotel?
Of course. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of the series and the franchise, and I think Lady Gaga is bringing some fresh, like, light and a breath of fresh air to the show, and the promotion is great as always. Mm-hmm. And I think it's another great setting for the show. Last season wasn't that good, I tuned out, but this
I did too.
This concept has like brought me all the way back in.
Mm-hmm. Haven't watched, but I am kind of curious. I might at least the premiere, just to kind of see.
It's one of those shows, if you tune into the premiere, you're going to watch the whole thing. It's good.
Well, then I'll end up watching the whole thing, probably.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fantastic, but I won't be watching just because I find it kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Too
scary for
just
you?
A little too creepy for me.
Not your flavor, yeah. No, I'm just curious to see what they do with Gaga, and I want to see how much they're actually going to use her, because I heard that she's not in it that much.
Really? I've heard she's the focal point. They had the whole Entertainment Weekly spread with her. Like, they're making it all about her.
Well, they'd be smart to.
Mm-hmm. She's replaced the Jessica Lange void, so
See. She isn't busy with a whole lot else right now, so...
What else is she doing? Yeah.
The Tony Bennett tour, is that...
Is that still happening?
I think it's over. I liked it. I liked that album.
I would have liked to have seen her perform at the Bowl. I wanted to go and see her at the Bowl, but that never happens. For me. Anyway.
Well, now she's an actress. Yes. So it may be a while.
Well, we might be seeing her. Imagine if we see her at the Emmys next year. Mm. It's very possible. She could win.
What will she wear?
Or at least be nominated, yeah.
She'll probably be nominated.
She was there this year as a PR. To promote.
Yeah, it'd be smart for them to do that, definitely.
We're talking about it. I think we'll be watching.
Well, we can also look forward to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills coming up at some point. This is a show we all watch and have an opinion about. It's already starting. Are you concerned, like I am, on the casting?
Well, I know they brought in some new woman. I have no idea. I think she's a friend of Yolanda's, maybe? Mm-hmm. Some, like, European... Yeah. Who is she?
Her husband is also involved in the music business, I believe. And I've heard reports that they are either filthy rich, like very, very rich, or that they also have had major tax issues the last several years.
It could be one of those. Maybe Rob will get a Teresa Giudice story. She's also
29 and he's 76.
I
love is love, but I'm curious to see that dynamic on camera.
The Beverly Hills ladies are going to latch onto that in the same way that the Orange County ladies have with Jim and Megan, and they're going to just refer to this poor girl as the 30-year-old. We're going to hear the 30-year-old and Bravo, we're not going to know which
Brandy Glanville was my all-time favorite housewife, so I'm pretty
I was
sad
like on
she's
and off
there.
The Brandy train, but maybe this girl is like crazy and will fill that void.
Erica Jane, that's her name. Sounds like a porn star. I know.
Well, I was looking at her on Twitter and she follows all these gay porn stars.
Interesting.
Which I'm kind of like, I mean, you do.
What's her story? See, now like I'm so excited to tune in. Like, who is this chick? I know they've been doing all summer, so I'm like really excited.
Apparently, there's some storylines where people have been questioning Yolanda's illness.
Stop.
Taylor is back, and Taylor is apparently kind of the catalyst of questioning Yolanda. They were never on the show together, so if we're gonna get Yolanda and Taylor,
Holding a diamond, or is she just gonna show up?
And she's gonna show up.
Well, her and her husband. I did husband in the quotes, but he's her real husband. Her and her husband had moved back from Colorado, and now they are living back in Beverly Hills. So.
Interesting. Weren't they on couples therapy?
Yeah, sure.
I am not a fan of hers.
I don't like Taylor. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a person, like I pity her, but for TV purposes.
I have to say, her unraveling, and it's like all very sad, but it was amazing TV. Season 2 of Beverly Hills, like, and it was just crazy because you were watching in the context knowing that Russell had killed himself 2 weeks before it premiered, and that entire subsequent season was her unraveling, her abuse coming to light. So that was like some of the best reality TV I've ever seen.
And they had to re-edit a lot of that around him.
Yeah.
It was still really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Imagine what they took
sad,
out.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and after that, I think the seasons that happened after that, that put us up here so high on, like, the drama meter that after that, didn't it sort of kind of seem to fizzle
last
a little
season
bit?
Was good, though. I liked the additions. I really liked Eileen Davidson. And then, I also really liked Lisa Rinna on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen, to me, was okay. I think as a person, she's lovely, homely, motherly. But as a housewife, that's why you need the Brandys of the world.
I don't know, but she also added that, like, viewer element of, like, sanity to
that's
the dynamic.
True.
She was able to recount things, and I loved it because they would play back footage where she would call people out and be like, no, that's actually not what happened. And she was always telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Eileen did sort of seem to serve a role by the end. She kind of...
Yeah.
But do
settled
we,
into that.
See, I see Yolanda as that.
I was going to say, do we need both Yolanda and Eileen on the canvas?
Right, and I think without a Brandy, maybe Eileen is just going to seem boring. If you don't have that, hey, what's Brandy doing over there? If she can't say that, maybe she won't have a whole lot
to
say.
I thought Lisa Rinna was great, though.
She was.
She got annoying a little at the end, but as a whole, I think she's the perfect personality for that show.
If they want to add this Erica girl, go for it. But they need to add somebody
else. I read, like, Catherine Stewart or something.
I had also heard Denise Richards.
Well, if the queen of desperation, Miss Denise Richards, if there is a spot for her, I'm sure she will be. I don't remember. They were talking a long time about Mohammed's fiance.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful, though.
Yeah, she is. And there's all that money and backstory, and she ties right in, and she never made the cut. So
that's
I'm really skeptical
about this season is I want that industry, even if I work in entertainment, even if I live in L.A., I want that kind of thing you can't get in middle America. Like in New Jersey, Housewives and whatever, any other city, there's not that strong entertainment factor, and I want industry people. Mm-hmm. And that's why even if Brandy didn't know the women, she was so good because she was such a tabloid sweetheart at the time she came onto the show. And that's why I think Lisa Rinna's great. Even Eileen in that sense is really mm-hmm. good. But that's what makes me nervous because these women, like,
are we going to open Radar Online tomorrow and read a story about them?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the organic element also. Like, I like when there actually is a relationship and history. That's what, like, made Kim and Kyle's dynamic on the show so mm-hmm. good, because there's a familial element.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want big money, and I want glamour, and I want Camille to be back.
I love Camille.
I do too. I really like her.
So that's who they need back.
Yes, I
agree.
Tweet her. She follows you. You can. You
know. I could tweet. Yeah, I could. I don't know. I haven't wrote to her in a bit. Maybe she'll forget or remember. I don't know. Well, on that note, let's transition to where we can keep the conversation going with you guys online, what you guys want to promote, and, you know, I'm always tweeting about TV, usually kind of more angrily than joy, but you can always join that conversation on Twitter at Grants_rants. Justin, what about you?
I don't really have anything to promote. I'm not as active on Twitter as I once was, but Instagram and Twitter, the Justin Heath, it's where you can find me.
Great.
Love it. I'm on all the platforms at Christy Reports, and you can also check out ChristyReports.com and my YouTube channel. You know, I'm out there on those red carpets trying to get the juicy dish from all these reality stars and the TV stars, so please check it out.
And when you were here last, you were hoping to hit 1 million views on your YouTube channel.
Yes,
and
I am there.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, so there's good stuff there. So maybe go there and help me out to 2 million. I appreciate it.
There you go. I like keep it going. Keep it going.
I don't really have much to promote. I'm not the biggest social media person, but you can find me at Sultry Silverman on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, I keep it spicy at least. But I like my stuff. Her favorite.
There you go.
Double tap.
Yes. Well, until next time, we'll have to just keep watching these shows. Maybe we'll like them. Maybe we'll turn them off in the middle. And we'll see what happens next.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.